Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Great form by you hitting play on this podcast. Now, check out Same Racer, the brand new racing app for same race multi-tips. Same Racer. Download from the App Store and Google Play. Powered by BlueBet.
Gamble responsibly. Call 1-800-858-858.
The Sporting Capital with Sam Hargraves on SEN.
Who are your heroes? Who are your villains from the round of footy or just the weekend in sport? Matt Rendell is going to join me to give a few of his, and we'll work our way through what was a cracking round of footy. Welcome to the Sporting Capital. Great to have you on board. The Harcourt's open line is always that for you. 1-300-736-736. Hope your day has been as good as it possibly can be. However you're joining us, wherever you're joining us on the SEN network, it is just a thrill to have you. So give us a call any time. You can text 0433 98 11 16. There are a ton of texts coming through to sin bin, to not to sin bin, to red card or not to red card. There are a ton of texts. I'm happy to have this debate. We'll ask Matt Rendell his thoughts on it as well. This is an interesting one from Michael. I'm in favour of a red card in extreme circumstances, but also allow the team to replace the player sent off, as I don't think any team should be short. Just the red carded player cannot return. So almost implementing a sub for the red carded player, so that a team isn't playing one player down. I think you run into a few areas of concern that the AFLPA would have, given the reduction in rotations that they're trying to, that they've already done once and I think are looking to do again, that if you leave a team short, and I know that the players then have to be disciplined to not do it, but there are red cards in other sports and players still get sin bin and sent off all the time, so it doesn't really stop them as much as you'd like from committing acts that we wouldn't like. So then you've got a situation where your rotation's down, what that does to players in terms of susceptibility to injury. Don't think the AFLPA would be big on that and would be in favour of ticking that off. And they do hold a lot of weight, the AFLPA. So that would be an issue. Jerry Whateley spoke about whether this issue, given that it was rated careless, not intentional, would this come under the banner of a red cardable or sin binnable offence when it comes to Tom Stewart. So those are a few things to consider. A couple other texts. Woody in Perth, the sin bin doesn't work, was in the waffle years ago. We got rid of it. It's garbage. As a Tigers supporter, if a Tigers player did what Stewart did, I'd be extremely angry at him and would expect him to get a minimum of a month on the sidelines. No excuse, no matter who they play for. That's from Dan in Werribee. The red card rule will happen after a team wins a grand final, after taking out a key player, like what happened to Prestia. Won't help the losing team, no flag. But hey, we will suspend the player next season that did that. That's crazy. Can't believe it hasn't happened in a grand final already. Well, the fact that it hasn't happened in a grand final probably means that it won't. No one has not in this day and age, do players go out to take out another player. And then a couple off the text, and I've just lost this one. I'll try and find that in just a moment. But Arthur in Caulfield wanted to give his take, and we were hard up against the immovable ad break. And so I said, just hold on there, Arthur. We'll get you on the other side. And I'm a man of my word, Arthur. So fire away. The floor is again yours on the red champion card.
Yeah, no. Well, like I said, it's a bit harsh, the other team losing a man and the other one not paying for it. And I mean, listen, in today's day and age, with video footage that we have, the quality of video footage, I mean, look, even football had to relent, like soccer had to relent, they've got VAR, and cricket have got their bit of it. I mean, why does football always drag their feet? I mean, like the goal line issues and stuff like that, they always seem to be the last to take on something that really will only benefit the game. Because I don't think people will go out and take those chances in taking a player out if there is a thing of having a red card above their head just in case. I don't think it'll happen. I mean, listen, the game's come up.
It doesn't stop it in other sports, though, Arthur. It doesn't stop it in other sports.
Yeah,
we still see people red carded and sin binned.
Yeah.
Ejected.
Yeah, but I mean, listen, that's part of the game. I mean, in the end, I think football is a unique Australian game, okay? And in order to make it uniform, as in to stop that kind of stuff happening, I think it's a no-brainer. I really do.
Okay,
I think it'll only benefit the game. I really do.
Arthur, thanks so much for your call and for holding through the break. I greatly appreciate it. Jason's in Essendon. G'day, Jace.
How are you, mate?
Far away.
Two things.
Yeah.
I've got four really quick ones to work through here. So, firstly, the side bottom thing that you were talking about before, if a player, like, fair enough, the umpire, if he's too far out, then the umpire calls play on. But if the umpire thinks he's, say, 60 or 70 out and he's actually got the ability to potentially make the distance and he takes his 30 seconds, then he passes it, that should be a three. And then that rules out all the negativity and all that sort of stuff. So if you actually take your 30 seconds, you've got to go for the goal. Fair enough, there's a little bit of ambiguity if he miskicks it and all that, but that's up to the umpire to decide. The next one is Tom Stewart. How did he not get the 10 votes? He was clearly the best player on the ground, and then he knocked out the other team's one of their best players, so it's a clear 10 votes for me.
Yeah, the coaches both have to give their sets of votes. So we got four, I'm tipping. I don't know for certain that those came from Chris Scott. He did have 17 intercepts, 737 metres and 29 disposals, and the match-saving mark with 40 seconds to go.
And nullified Prestia.
No. We don't make jokes about that. We're not making jokes about that, Jason. That's there's nothing funny in that. What's your next point?
Well, the AFL fixturing, that was my hero. And then those in favour of the sin bin, that's my negative.
Yeah, I'm with you on the scheduling this week was fantastic. What a great weekend of games that we had. This is off the text. The Gaff incident, the Lockett incident on Peter Cavan, the Barry Hall incident should not only be red carded, they should have all been charged with assault and years in jail. That's from Arsenico. So the second part of that, it's totally up to you. You're totally a valid. What am I trying to say here? You are absolutely entitled to have that view. What your initial point does point out, though, is that how many incidents do we see that would actually be red carded, and is this one of them? So are we seeing enough? This is one of the things where I don't know, and this is what John Longmire is pointing to. Just, we understand at the moment there's emotion around what's happened with Tom Stewart and Dion Prestia, and we feel for Dion Prestia because that's just, you don't expect that to happen to you on a footy field anymore. But are we seeing enough incidents that would warrant red cards to even introduce it? Is it a knee-jerk reaction to what we've seen over the weekend? It's an interesting question, and that would what you'd need to figure out before you decided to implement a red card or a sin bin system. Matt Rendell, our very good friend, my co-host on Footy SA. Mate, thanks for holding while we got through a couple of calls.
That's okay.
On that, we might as well keep open with that. The conversation around red cards, sin bins, Kane says yes, several others say no. John Longmire's asking for just a bit of restraint and just to keep a bit of perspective. Where do you sit on it?
So if you get a red card, can you use your Medisub or not use your Medisub? Are you one down or you on a red card?
We've had that brought up by a couple of texts that have come through off the temper text, is that but they don't people
well,
don't believe
okay,
that the whole team
card,
should be punished.
They should. So if you get a red card, of course you've got to be one down.
Mm.
You can't use a medi sub at all. So look, who judges it? Clearly not the umpires. because the umpires couldn't even see the ball. The bloke on the ground was absolutely no good, Prestia, and should have stopped the game. So clearly they can't be the judges. Is it the person in the arc? Do they make the assessment like they do in the NRL?
Mm.
Sam, he makes all the judgments there, the NRL, around stuff, and sometimes like a minute later, play's gone on and they call back and then they put someone on report, or they rarely send someone off, but they put someone on report after a period of time. So the person in the arc, possibly, he's not going that well with the goals at the moment. That's a good idea, but I don't know who makes the judgment, because you're judge and executioner at the same time, aren't you? Because you're sending a club one player down.
Yeah, I mean, that's what the debate is. I mean, it's worth the conversation, but is it worth the implementation?
If the player that gets hurt, like Prestia, and is gone for the rest of the game, I'm happy for a red card. I'm happy for the person to go off for the rest of the game.
But they can't, can't be replaced, so you play one down on the bench.
Can't be replaced. Yeah. I'm happy for that to happen. Knee jerk? Well, what are we talking about? 2 or 3 a year? Maybe tops?
Yeah, so I'm curious to that, Matty. Are we seeing enough incidences? Are there enough incidents occurring that would warrant red cards?
No, there's not many. There's hardly any. Back in the 70s and 80s, there was plenty. So there's not many. But what if you lose a final by a point because you've cleaned up the best player in the comp? And you've got over the line because you've had that advantage. I mean,
okay. Well, on the flip side of that,
more in grand finals.
On the flip side of that, what if you lose a grand final because you have a player red carded that on review, the MRO decides actually that wasn't the right call and there isn't a case to answer.
Well, that's my point, Sam.
Yeah.
We need someone really good in the arc, and it might be.
Was that Chris O? Yeah.
Sitting in the arc, adjudicating. It might be him sitting in the arc.
When does he get a day off, Chris O, if we're going to throw him to every game?
Oh, he gets 6 months off, Sammy. what a great round it was, Sammy, too.
Have you got a hero out of it?
Well, let me come back to the heroes. Do you know who Nick Brown is?
Do I know who Nick Brown is?
Yeah.
I'm going to feel like I'm going to be it's not springing to mind automatically who Nick Brown is.
Okay. He was the umpire in the Collingwood GWS game, Nick Brown.
Yes.
He was the one who gave away the decision against Darcy Moore. Deliberate.
Yes.
Rough behind.
Yes.
Oh, please. And also, he had the animated argument with Still Side Bottom about wasting time.
So this is one that we've been talking about. So in 2017, they changed with the shot clock. They said that if an umpire feels that the player is milking all the 30 seconds just to waste time and wind the clock, then they will give him the hurry up. So the AFL ticked that off today. I Googled it today, and in 2017 there were stories written about it because they announced that they were adding that. But it has been pointed out, even by the beautiful Evie, that creates a grey area where there were previously weren't any.
And it's never been used, has it?
I can't remember it being used for a shot at goal.
So his argument with Side Bottom was about looking at the shot clock all the time. Well, my godfather, we are going to tell everyone to play on now because everyone looks at the shot clock. Every one of them. And the serial offender is Norton at Western Bulldogs. So, I don't know about it. Of course he was milking the clock. So now we know. If they blow the whistle and tell you to move it on, you better move it on so you don't get the 30 seconds. at all, which was Si Bottom's point. Anyway, Nick Brown. So we know him now. He's an umpire. So he didn't use... So the umpires in that Richmond-Swans game where the midfielder kicked the ball out of bounds with a half a second to go or whatever it was, they said, oh, we're going to use some common sense. Well, Nick clearly didn't get the memo on that common sense from the umpires because that Darcy Moore decision was a disaster. Now, to the letter of the law, of course it was, it should have been a free kick because he socketed it outside the square.
Yep.
The bloke, they were stride by stride next to each other. What do you do in the wet? What are you actually supposed to do there when they're going flat out side by side? I thought what he didn't use was common sense. And go, hang on. That's not a deliberate...
But if he kicks, if that goes to the right of the point post, then he's probably done for insufficient intent.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, but if he uses common sense...
But he was clear,
no.
I mean, that's clearly what he wanted to do, though, Darcy. He clearly wanted to rush that.
Well...
Or well, do you feel like he might have just got a bit much on it and he was trying to get it to the line, pick it up and turn
exactly.
And go?
I mean, what do you do in that situation? That's the option. That's what frustrated me when I was watching it.
Now, Matty,
what is Darcy Moore supposed to do?
You might get my villain nomination because we've had a brilliant round of footy and we've gone to two umpiring decisions off the bat. So give me some of the good stuff. We've only got about 4 minutes left.
Okay, Melbourne, outstanding. Lines, major problem lines, and I flagged this last year.
Mm.
Not enough line breakers. Bailey and Zorko, they're two line breakers out.
Yeah.
They tag Lachie Neal after quarter time. Can't get the ball in the midfield. No line breakers. They can't win it unless Bailey and Zorko are playing and playing well. Big tick for Norton. Jesus, he's a good player, Norton. Had some mail that he might have had a really sore wrist, but you didn't know that on the weekend.
No.
Essendon still can't address their key back. Ridley on Kennedy. They can't get a key back. They have to target a good key back in the off-season. They got a couple of good young ones. They need to get a really good senior key back. Carlton, physical mids. We knew it was coming. And,
gee, they protected their defence, didn't they? I loved that because they were so intent on playing in their forward half. Mm, they did not want to put their undermanned defence under pressure. I loved it for what it says about, you know, about the camaraderie of footy, that we will have your back today. You won't be under undue pressure like you were last week when we gave up 76 inside 50s.
And they can definitely, win the flag, I think, you know, with those blokes back. This is really tight, what's happening at the end of this year. So Freo's biggest problem is, and I was really worried last year when they lost Chera. I knew Fife wasn't playing till halfway during the year. I thought it was more around his hip problem, hip infection more so than end up being his back. But a lot of pressure on Brayshaw and Sarong to do a lot of work. And Brayshaw has just shouldered so much of the stuff. Okay, they get Fife back, but he's not in great form, Fife. And Walters didn't play. Mundy's about 58 years of age. They just haven't got enough depth. Freo in the midfield, and they got bullied. They really needed Fife to be at his best, and you can't expect him to be his best yet.
Yeah.
Cameron for the Cats just provides a nightmare matchup for everyone who plays against him. Mm. They don't know who to put on him. A key back can't run with him. You put a smaller person, he marks on him. He is a nightmare. I reckon only probably two or three clubs have got a good matchup for him. Richmond is still massive chance.
Yeah.
It was a great game. It was a great game.
Wasn't it? Game of the year.
They need Dusty up.
Yep.
Dusty's not up at the moment. So Dusty needs to get to his best form for them to win it, and they can still win it. But he's shown over their premiership years he's been the star, and he's a bit off the boil at the moment. So he's crucial. The rest of their stuff's going quite well. Crows, they were
just work, but like, geez, it's disappointing, North Melbourne. And you leave McKay in the forward line the whole game, and your two key forwards at the other end.
So just on that,
I don't know what they were trying to do. I don't know what they're trying to do, Sam.
Yeah, I'm not sure either. But they're now the first team in AFL VFL history, North Melbourne, to lose 10 straight games by over 40 points.
Yeah, it's worse than the startups of GWS and Gold Coast Suns. So they've got a major problem, and Walshy's come in there, and I don't expect some people to survive at the end of the year. So they've stuffed up something. They've got every player has gone backwards on their list. Every player. There's not one player who has gone forwards, which is a major worry. The Pies, they're the happiest club playing in the comp at the moment. Everything's going well for them. They look like they can't wait to get out on the ground and play footy.
We're going to crash into this ad break, Matty, so I'm going to have to love you and leave you. But a question for another day for you and I is what do the Pies do when Grundy returns? Because 9 votes got Cameron. Darcy Cameron got in the coaches' votes. So that is a question for us for another day. Matt Rendell, always so generous with his time. We'll be back to wrap up the Macca's run on the other side of this.
You're listening to The Sporting Capital with Sam Hargraves on SEN.
Hey, apologies. We're having to finish up half an hour early tonight. BP's got a Wimbledon Eve edition of the first serve. In fact, it starts tonight. 8 o'clock, the first games get underway. So if we missed your team in great detail, a couple of people are upset we missed the Swan Saints game. I did do a little bit on that earlier. Apologies, it wasn't intentional and no disrespect was intended. Just a couple of little things that are making news before we finish up. The NAB Rising Star nominee for round 15, Lockie Jones from Port Adelaide, who I reckon is almost like a throwback to Gary McIntosh. Sandful and people in South Australia fans will know exactly who I'm talking about there. 16 disposals, 3 goal assists and a goal. Congratulations to Lockie Jones. And a trailblazer in AFL football, Majak Dore, who was the first Sudanese player born. 54 games with North Melbourne and has been with the D's for the last couple of years, been battling injury. He's announced his retirement today. We know that there's been some struggles in the life and times of Majak Dore, but he played a very important role in being the first Sudanese-born player into the AFL, and we're seeing the fruit that that's borne since he first came in. So we wish him all the best in retirement. BP's up next with the first serve. Speak to you tomorrow night.
Sometimes needing new tyres can catch us by surprise. That's why Tyre Power gives you the power of Zip Pay and Zip Money. You can get what you need now, get back on the road safely, and pay for it later. Terms and conditions apply. So visit tyrepower.com.au or call 13 21 91.